Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Berean's Bible Institute. I'm Tim Warner, your teacher. We're in module number 11, going through the book of Revelation. This is lesson number 31. We are getting into Revelation chapter 13 today. Revelation 13 is a really interesting chapter. It deals with the beast, or what a lot of people refer to as the Antichrist. You may remember, prior to getting into chapter 12, I mentioned the fact that Revelation chapter 12, 13, and 14 are sort of parenthetical in describing the sequence of end time events. And we saw that chapter 12 really dealt with the entire 7 year period of tribulation. It mentioned the two prophets, the two witnesses who will prophesy for 1260 days. And I told you I think it was last week's lesson, that whenever you see the 1260 days mentioned in Revelation, it's always in reference to the first half of the 70th week of that 7 year period. And then whenever you see the term 42 months, or the term a time, times, and half a time, that those designations always refer to the second half of that time of tribulation, right? So those are important clues as far as how to figure out the sequence of the book of Revelation. Now, also, I mentioned that John's purpose in writing his books, all of his books really, was to reinforce the teachings of Paul. And the teaching of Paul with regard to the subject of the Antichrist centers primarily in the book of 2 Thessalonians, principally in chapter 2, where he talks about the man of sin who will enter into the temple of God and proclaim that he is God, that is, he is the universal ruler over all the earth, and so forth. Beginning here in chapter 13, John begins to address the Antichrist and his kingdom specifically. Now, as the part of the backdrop of this this talking about the beast in Revelation is the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, particularly chapters 7 and 8, and then chapters 11 and 12, deal with the subject matter. In fact, it's really impossible to understand Revelation 13 accurately without first having some background in Daniel, in those chapters in Daniel, and also having a grasp of the history that Daniel wrote in advance, and how that Daniel's prophecies have been fulfilled partly with regard to the coming of the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great, then the what occurred after Alexander's death, when his kingdom was divided up among his four generals, and then succeeding one of those generals in Syria was Antiochus Epiphanes. And you also need to know the history of Antiochus Epiphanes and his what he did to the nation of Israel, and how he committed what Daniel calls the abomination of desolation, where he defiled the temple. He placed an image of Zeus in the temple. They sacrificed a pig on the altar. And then the period of the Maccabees, which they struggled. Antiochus decreed that the Jews could no longer keep the law of Moses. They had to worship the Greek gods, and he defiled that. And that went on for exactly 3 years to the day that Antiochus defiled the temple, or committed the abomination of desolation. And then Judah Maccabee cleansed the temple and rededicated the temple, which is why we celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the celebration of that historical event. Now, if you've been around this ministry for very long, you understand those things, you know the story, and so forth. So, also, if you have not been around long, and you have not gone back and watched the video series on the book of Daniel that we have on the Four Winds Fellowship's website, it probably would be a good idea for you to pause Revelation 13 and go back and look at that series on Daniel, because it goes in great depth into the things that are really the background material for this this lesson here, these next few lessons on the beast in Daniel chapter 13. All right, so I'm going to cover some of those things very briefly, but if you want details, you need to go back and do that series on the book of Daniel. All right, well, let's look at Revelation chapter 13, and let's begin reading in verse 1 using the Last Generation version. "And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I observed a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on its heads blasphemous names. And the beast I observed was like a leopard, its feet were like the feet of a bear, and its mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave his power to it, his throne, and his great authority. And one of its heads appeared as having been wounded unto death, and its blow of death was healed. And the whole land marveled after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon that gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast, who is able to do battle with it? And a mouth was given to it, speaking great things and blasphemies, and it was given authority to act for 42 months. And it opened its mouth with blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tent and those who dwell in the sky. And it was granted to battle with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was granted to it over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And all those dwelling on the land shall worship him whose name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb, the one having been slain because of the casting down of the world." Now, we're going to stop there. That's as far as our lesson is going to go today. We'll pick up verse 9 next time. All right, now, let's look at some of these things that are said about this beast. First of all, in verse 1, it says, "I stood on the sand of the sea." Now, you might imagine that this was part of John's vision, that in his vision he was standing on the sand of the sea, but there's another way to interpret it, which I think is probably accurate, and that is that John was actually standing on the shoreline when he saw this vision. You may remember that John had been exiled to the island of Patmos, and Patmos was an island just off the coast of what we would call today Western Turkey, but it's an island in the Mediterranean Sea. And so what John saw was, in a vision, he's standing on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, and he sees in his vision, it says, "I observed a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its horns 10 crowns, and on its heads blasphemous names." Now, where have we seen this beast before? Well, you may remember back in chapter 12 of Revelation. Let's go back there for just a moment. We saw that there was the vision of the woman clothed with the sun. Remember that? Go back to chapter 12, verse. She was laboring, about to give birth. Verse 3, it says, "And another sign appeared in the sky, and look, a great red dragon." Now notice this, "having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 crowns." Now that's the same description that we have here. All right, except now it says, he had 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its horns 10 crowns. Now, there's no question that the beast, this creature with 7 heads, is the same creature that is represented back in chapter 12, having 7 heads and 10 horns, right? But in chapter 12, when he is about to, or attempting to kill the child that, as soon as it's born, that is attempting to kill Christ, in that scenario, it says he has 7, where was it? Verse 3, 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads, not on the horns, but on the heads, were 7 crowns. Now, what do crowns represent? They represent dominion, okay? Now, when he's talking about 7 heads, he's talking about 7 dominions, 7 kingdoms. Now, later in the chapter, it's this dragon with 7 heads is identified for us without any question. It says, if you go down to verse verse 7. It says, there was war in the sky. Michael and his messengers fought the dragon, and the dragon fought with his messengers, and they did not prevail, nor was there any more room found for them in the sky. And the great dragon was thrown down. Now notice this, the original snake, called the devil and Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, he was cast down to the ground, and his messengers were cast down with him. So it's very clear that the beast that has seven heads is a allegorical representation of Satan and his dominion. And the reason he has, why does he have seven heads? Back there, those seven heads each had a crown. Because Satan, since the very beginning, the original snake, when he first deceived Eve, then he seized the dominion of the earth away from Adam. Satan had a dominion over the earth for a time. But God overthrew that dominion with the flood, didn't he? And he raised up another righteous seed. Well, Satan has had seven dominions. And those seven dominions, he has used his pawns or his puppet kings through whom that he exercises his authority over those particular dominions. Now, I'm not going to go through and identify what all those dominions were down through history. We're going to get to that when we get into chapter 17, because in chapter 17, it picks up this theme again, and it describes, it tells us specifically that these heads are seven kingdoms or seven dominions that have existed, and it says five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come, and then it talks about an eighth, which is one of the seven that is reborn. All right, so those seven heads represent all seven of those dominions, and the end time kingdom of the Antichrist is going to be one of the seven dominions that comes back again on the scene. And as we'll see, that's what the deadly wound that's healed represents. Okay. However, I want you to notice that in chapter 12, when Satan is depicted as trying to kill the man-child, that these crowns are on the seven heads, that is, representing the authority of those seven dominions. However, when this beast shows up in the end times, when John sees him rising up out of the sea, now it says he has seven heads and ten horns, and there are ten crowns. Instead of seven crowns, and the ten crowns are all on the horns, not on the seven heads. And that's because the dominion has been shifted now to ten kings that will exist all together simultaneously in the end times, along with the Antichrist. And we learn about this stuff from Daniel, which we'll be getting to shortly. All right. Now, before we go to Daniel, I want to point out that John sees this beast arising out of the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea and these kingdoms, these satanic kingdoms arising from the Mediterranean Sea. The location of the Mediterranean makes it clear that these are all Gentile powers. You know, there is a theory that the Antichrist and his kingdom is going to be Jewish. And that's absolutely false. It's not going to be Jewish. It's rising from the Mediterranean Sea. Now let's go to Daniel, and I'll show you that this language about the beast coming up out of the sea is derived directly out of Daniel, and it's clearly talking about the Gentile nations arising out of the sea. All right, so let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Verses 1 and 2. Daniel 7, 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Verse 2. Daniel spoke, saying, quote, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Now, you should underline the great sea, because that is a description of the Mediterranean Sea. In fact, that exact phrase, the great sea, is used several times in the Old Testament, and it's always a reference to the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? All right, so it says, verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea. Now, again, we see the same thing that John saw in Revelation. That is, he saw this beast coming up out of the sea. Now, in John's Revelation, it's the last kingdom. It's the Antichrist kingdom. It's Satan's domain coming back on the scene in another form. But in Daniel's vision, writing, you know, some approximately 500 years before Christ, Daniel wrote during the end of the Babylonian kingdom, and he saw this, his vision of these, of a sequence of kingdoms coming up out of the Mediterranean Sea. All right, and it says, verse 4, it says, the first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. I watched till the wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Well, anyone reading that verse, it's obvious what he's talking about. He's talking about the Babylonian Empire, because Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of the Babylonian Empire, the prominent king, was the one whom God rebuked by driving him insane and sending him to live with the animals for 7 years until God then allowed his sanity to return to him. And what was it? Why did God do that to him? Because of his arrogance and his pride. Nebuchadnezzar was an extremely proud and arrogant king. And so if you read, go back to Daniel chapter 4, you can read Nebuchadnezzar's confession after his sanity returned to him, and how he says now he only extols the God of heaven, and that all the kingdoms are in his hand, and he puts those in power whom he desires to. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar could no longer claim this great power and so forth. So that's when the man's heart was given to the Babylonian kingdom, because under Nebuchadnezzar, he had a much more humble attitude after that. But then it says, and suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said to it, arise, devour much flesh. Well, this is a reference to the kingdom that followed the Babylonians, that conquered the Babylonians, which was the Persian Empire under Cyrus the Great. And it's described here as not as proud and then being humbled, but it's described as being very brutal, because it says, they said, arise, devour much flesh. So the Persian Empire conquered a lot of people, and it did it in a very violent way. Verse 6, after this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, this beast, in verse 6, is a reference to the Greeks under Alexander the Great. Now, the reason it has, well, first of all, it's portrayed as a leopard, because a leopard is extremely fast on its feet, and it had four wings, all right, which then the four wings are representations of the fact that when Alexander died, he had no heir, and so his kingdom was divided up among his four generals, and then his four generals then battled amongst each other to try to seize control of the entire Greek Empire, but none of them ever did. The Seleucids, which was one of the four, did maintain a large part of the empire, and that eventually fell in line to Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus, again, was the guy who came in and defiled the temple and committed the abomination of desolation and so forth that we talked about before. All right. Then it says, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, and it had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue, that is the rest, with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and had 10 horns. Now here we have the 10 horns. Now the 10 horns are on the Roman Empire. Okay, the fourth beast is the Roman Empire. There's no question about that as we follow the history of how these things were fulfilled. But the ten horns that are on the fourth beast are also the 10 kings that we see in the book of Revelation, and they also show that the 10 horns that have 10 crowns, that these kingdoms, these kings are going to come to power. These 10 kings that come out of the fourth beast, which was the Roman Empire, these 10 kings are all going to have their reign in the end times, which is why when John sees the seven-headed beast coming up out of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the crowns are not on the seven heads anymore. That is referring historically to these seven empires that have been the dominion of Satan himself as he seeks to overthrow God. But now these crowns are all on the 10 horns, which arise out of the fourth beast, which was the Roman Empire. We get to chapter 17. We'll see that it says very clearly that these 10 are 10 kings that have dominion alongside of the Antichrist in the end times. All right. Now, Daniel also talks about these in chapter 2, in the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had of the sequence of world kingdoms. And it talks about the last kingdom. It talks about, first of all, the head of gold. Now, this, of course, is from the head meaning from Daniel's day, okay, which was then Babylon. There were kingdoms prior to Daniel, which are part of the seven that are mentioned here, but the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had starts with him. All right, so he was the head of gold. That was the Babylonian kingdom. Then there was the, in this image, his dream of the image, and then there was the chest of silver, which was the Persians, and then the belly of bronze, which was the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great, and then the two legs of iron, which corresponds to the fourth beast here in Daniel chapter 7, which was the Roman Empire, and it was it was really split in two, the two legs, the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. And then we have the feet of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 2, and it talks about the 10 toes as being 10 kings. And it says, in the days of these kings, that is the 10 toes, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. All right, so we see that the 10 kings, the 10 toes, are reigning simultaneously alongside of the Antichrist, and that's consistent in both Daniel and in the book of Revelation. All right. Now, if we continue in Daniel chapter 7, after the fourth beast and the 10 horns, which are on this last beast that John sees coming up out of the Mediterranean, it says, I was considering the horns, that is the 10 horns, and another horn, a little one, coming up among them. Now, this little horn is not part of the 10. It's an 11th horn, okay? And notice that the 10 horns are on, coming out of the fourth beast, but the little one is not part of the fourth beast. That is, he is distinguished from the fourth beast. That is, he's distinguished from the Roman Empire. It says, verse 8 again, I was considering the horns, and there another little horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. Now, this is the Antichrist. And a mouth speaking pompous words. Now, it's important that he was speaking pompous words, because you'll see that the passage we're reading in Revelation talks about his pompous words. I watched till the thrones were put in place. The Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow. Now, again, we talked about how that the passage, Revelation chapters 4 and 5, which describe the scene in heaven and the scrolls being opened and all that, that this was what this is what Daniel saw when he saw the Ancient of Days and the books being opened and the thrones. That was the thrones of the 24 elders and all that. We saw that already. So we've been over all that. And then verse 11, it says, I watched then, and that now while Daniel was seeing the vision of the Ancient of Days seated in the sky and the court seated, the Antichrist was, this little horn was continuing his activities on earth. See, I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain. Now, what beast? Because the word beast here is only used in this chapter, not of the horns, but of the large empires that arose in succession. You had the first beast was Babylon, the second beast was, which was a lion, the second beast was a bear, which was Persia, the third beast was the Greeks, the kingdom of the Greeks. The fourth beast was this great, dreadful beast. And so the one that is slain here, it says, I watched because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain. Well, what is the beast that is slain? It's the fourth beast, that is the Roman Empire. So what it means is that the little horn is speaking pompous words, and because of his pompous words, the Roman Empire is going to be slain. It's going to be overthrown. That is what the remnants of the Roman Empire, which still exists to this very day in Europe, but that is going to be overthrown by this little horn and his speaking great words. All right, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. What is that? Well, that's talked about in Revelation 17 also. That's the destruction of Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, which is Rome. All right, so this is what's talked about here in verse 11 is what occurs in the middle of the tribulation when the Antichrist comes to power, when the little horn comes to power. That's when the fourth beast, that is Rome, is going to be slain and its body given to the burning flame. And of course, it talks in Revelation 17 about how Rome is burned with fire and completely destroyed, and how the merchants are going to be wailing and seeing the smoke of her burning ascending and all that. That's what's talked about in verse 11 here. And then it says, as to the rest of the beasts, and that is the rest, that is the first, second, and third beast, that is the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of Persia, the kingdom of Greece. Those beasts, what remains of those beasts, and those kingdoms still exist to an extent today. It says, the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. That is the dominion of those nations. That is Iran, which is Persia. Iraq, which is Babylon. And then Greece, which is the Eastern Europe, or Southeastern Europe, they're going to have their dominion taken away, right? But their lives prolonged for a season of time. What that means is that the little horn, when he sees his power, he's going to take their dominion away, okay? Now, of course, in verse 13, he goes on to talk about the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, and then and setting up his kingdom and all that. But then in verse 15, Daniel is looking for an explanation of what he saw previously. And he says, I was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, and I came near to the one who stood by and asked him, that's the angel, the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. And I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, that's the Roman Empire, which was different from the others, exceedingly dreadful, and its teeth of iron, and its nails of bronze, which devoured in broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and the ten horns which were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely, the horn that had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance is greater than his fellows. So Daniel needed clarification on the fourth beast from the ten kings that arise out of, in the last days, they arise out of that fourth beast, that is, out of the old Roman Empire, that is, Europe, and both Eastern and Western Europe. And then he said, verse 23, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth. Again, that's the Roman Empire, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. Now again, did the Roman Empire devour the entire planet Earth? No. Did it devour the whole land? Yes. Okay. The whole land of Israel. So when you see language in Revelation about having power over the whole land, it's not talking about the whole inhabited earth. It's talking about this area in the Middle East. And you can see that's clearly the case when it's talking about the Roman Empire here. All right, anyway, trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from that kingdom. Now, notice that. Who shall arise from or out of that kingdom, out of the Roman Empire. So if you want to, if you're looking to what's going to happen just before the Antichrist arrives, what you need to be looking for is 10 kings that are going to come out of the old Roman Empire. That is, the old Roman Empire is going to be broken up into 10 dominions, all right, and 10 kings are going to arise out of that. We haven't seen that happen yet, but it's going to be happening, and the chaos that's going on in the world right now is leading up to that happening. So keep your eyes peeled on Europe. All right. And another shall arise after them. Notice it's after them. Not when they arise, but after they arise. So the 10 kings are going to be reigning out from the old Roman Empire. Remember, the old Roman Empire was not only Western Europe. It included Syria. It included Turkey. All right. It included the Middle East. All right. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. That is, when he comes to power, he's going to put down three, or at least subdue them. And he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. There's his language again. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. That's important because we'll see that that's mentioned again in Revelation 13. He shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand. Now, that means he's going to have power, exercise power to persecute believers. All right, that's also mentioned in Revelation 13. We'll get to that in a minute. But how long? Notice how long. For a time and times and half a time. Where have we seen that before? Time, times, and half a time. We saw it back in Revelation chapter 12. All right, go back to Revelation 12 again. In verse... verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the ground, he pursued the woman who gave birth to the man-child, and two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished there, notice this, a time, times, and half a time. All right, so the same period of time that the beast is going to be persecuting believers, which is during the last half of the tribulation, from the midpoint on, he's going to be doing that. There's going to be a place of refuge for believers to be nourished. However, not all believers will be nourished there. Some will be persecuted and some will be killed by the beast, as we'll see when we continue. All right. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 13. Let's pick up. It says, in verse 2, it says, the beast I observed was like a leopard. Now again, a leopard was the third kingdom that Daniel saw, which was the kingdom of the Greeks, of Alexander the Great. And its feet were like the feet of a bear, and its mouth like the mouth of a lion. So in those three statements, we have elements of the first three empires that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7. That was the Babylonians was like a lion. The Persians was likened to a bear. The Greeks were likened to a leopard. All right. Now, why those things? Well, it's because of the qualities associated with those animals and that are actually stated in Daniel chapter 7. The lion was proud, right? Now, Nebuchadnezzar was humbled, but this one will not be humbled. So he's going to have the mouth of a lion. Now, what is the mouth of a lion? Well, the mouth of a lion is someone who's braggadocious. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was originally, right? He was, talked all about his own power and his own dominion and blah, 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 right? Well, the little horn is going to be like that. All right, so this last kingdom, the kingdom of Antichrist, is going to be like that. It's going to be like Nebuchadnezzar in that regard. And then it says, he was like a leopard, that's first. Leopard was fast. He was really fast on his feet. So this kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom, when it comes up out of the sea, it's going to rise very quickly. All right. So that's placed first. Then it said, feet like a bear. Why was the Persian Empire likened to a bear because it's a devour much flesh. It was extraordinarily brutal. So it's going to be very fast coming to power. It's going to be very, very brutal. And then it says it has the mouth like a lion, comparing it to Nebuchadnezzar before he was given the heart of a man, as Daniel says. And that is to boast great things. And that's because of its leader, this kingdom's leader, which is that little horn, right? Daniel said he was going to blaspheme and so forth. All right, and it says, and the dragon gave its power to it, its throne, and its great authority. So Satan is the one who is the source, the power, the dominion, the authority behind this monstrosity that is coming up out of the sea again for the eighth time. Okay, now remember, this creature, this beast, had seven heads, which represent past successive dominions of Satan's power, but it's coming up out of the sea. There have been seven past. Now it's coming up again, but this is for the eighth time, as we'll see when we get to chapter 17. Chapter 17 of Revelation makes it clear that this final time that this beast with seven heads appears is simply a reviving of one of the past kingdoms. And so it's both the seventh, it's both one of the seven, it says specifically in chapter 17, but it's also the eighth. All right, and that tells us it's one which existed previously. Well, Revelation 13 also tells us that it existed previously, because look what it says here. And what, verse 3, and one of its heads appeared as having been wounded to death, and its blow of death was healed, and the whole land marveled after the beast. Well, why is that? It's because it's the return of a past kingdom that has been overthrown, a past king who has been overthrown by God. All right. And so who is that past king that was overthrown by God in that past kingdom? Well, the absolute identity is given to us when we compare this passage, Revelation 19, when we compare it to Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapters 11 and 12. All right, so I'm going to reserve a lot of that for when we get to chapter 17, because that's where these kingdoms are laid out in their sequence. That is the seven dominions that Satan has had over the earth. All right. In all of them, he has attempted to overthrow God. All right. I'll give you a hint. The first one was in the Garden of Eden. All right. When he seized the dominion away from Adam. But anyway, let's continue. Verse 4, it says, and they worshiped the dragon that gave authority to the beast. Now, they're worshiping the dragon directly. This is satanic worship. All right. And it says, and they worshiped the beast. The beast being the final expression of Satan's dominion, which is the little horn, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to do battle with it? And a mouth was given to it, speaking great things. So this last manifestation of this monstrosity with seven heads, which represents ultimately Satan and all of his attempts to establish his kingdom over the whole earth and to overthrow God. You know, it's sort of like his entire history wrapped up in this image or this vision of this creature with seven heads. And then the final manifestation of it has the ten horns with ten crowns. The crowns now are on the ten horns, which are the ten kings. And then the final little horn, that is the little king, the one who is the extension of this kingdom in the end times, who is referred to by Paul as the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but he's also referred to by John elsewhere as the Antichrist. Anyway, they are worshiping both Satan and they're worshiping this man of sin, the Antichrist himself, saying, who is like this beast? That is the last manifestation of the beast. Who is able to do battle with it? And a mouth was given it to speak great things and blasphemies, and it was given authority to act for 42 months. And again, that's the very same 42 months that's mentioned back in chapter 11, all the way back in chapter 11, where it talked about the two witnesses. You remember that? Well, let's go back there for just a minute. It says in verse 2, well, let's read verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. And a reed like a measuring rod was given to me, and I was told, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those worshiping in it. Excuse me one second. And exclude the court outside the temple. You should not measure it, because it was given to the Gentiles. Now notice this. They will also trample the holy city 42 months. Now that 42 months is talking about the last period of tribulation, because the first part of this 70th week, when the two witnesses are there and the temple is standing and there are people worshiping at the temple, that's the Jews worshiping at the temple, that's before the abomination of desolation, because when the Antichrist defiles the temple and the second abomination of desolation occurs, the daily sacrifice is taken away and the temple is defiled. So no one's going to be worshiping there during that last time. So that's why he says they will also trample the holy city 42 months. That's during the time the temple is desolate. So again, we have the 42 months as referring to that latter 3.5 years, which is the reign of this beast or the little horn. All right, verse back to chapter 13, verse 6. And it opened its mouth with blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tent, and those who dwell in the sky. And again, this was mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. Let me see, where was it? Okay, Daniel 7, verses 20 and 25. Also in Daniel 8, 25, it talks about his blasphemies. And then it says, it was granted to do battle with the saints and to conquer them. Well, we see that mentioned in chapter 12, verses 13 through 17, when it says that this seven-headed monster, the dragon, went to persecute the woman who gave birth to the man-child. But then also in Daniel 7, 25. Look at Daniel 7, 25 for just a minute. It says, and he shall intend to change times and laws, and the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Again, that's the same 42 months. All right. So this passage is actually referencing Daniel 7, 25, when it says it was granted to do battle with the saints and to conquer them. And authority was granted it over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Now again, this is not every tribe, people, and language, and nation on the entire globe. It's talking about the Middle East. That is that area where these other kingdoms have reigned, okay? Which really extends from, really its maximum extent would be from Great Britain in the West all the way through the country of Iran to the East. All right, that entire area. And all those dwelling on the land, that is on the land, probably the land of Israel, shall worship him whose name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb. All right, so those who are not already recorded by God, because God knows who the faithful are. He knows the hearts of every one. And he writes names in his book, the book of life. What is the book of life? The book of life of the Lamb is the book that has the names of all those who are going to be resurrected when Christ calls forth the dead out of their graves, right? That is the first resurrection. All right, then it says, the one, that is the Lamb, having been slain because of the casting down of the world. Now, most of your translations say, the one slain from the foundation of the world, and that is a incorrect translation. The word that's translated foundation there does not mean foundation. It means to throw down. It literally means that which has been overthrown or thrown down. And so it says here that his the one having been slain, not Christ was not slain at the time of creation. That's absurd. He was slain because of, the word from there, which is apa in Greek, can either mean from or it can mean because of. That is, pointing to the cause, from the cause of, all right? And the cause there was the overthrow or the casting down of the world. That is the curse that befell mankind, death that came upon mankind, because Adam and Eve abdicated the dominion to Satan in the Garden of Eden. And it was because of that, because Satan was able to take the dominion of the world away from mankind, that Christ had to be slain. And so this passage does not say that Jesus was killed before the world or from the time that the world was created, which makes no sense at all. But literally it says the one having been slain because of the casting down of the world. That is, because of the dominion having been taken away from man that God gave it to Adam, and seized by Satan himself. All right. Okay, we're going to stop there. We'll pick up next time in verse 9, and we'll see you then. God bless you all. It's been a pleasure being with you.